if you had jumped on that, I would have delivered some to you.
Yeah, but I'm not good at life.
Okay.
I am good at starting podcasts, though. Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
And special guest.
Chuck Washington.
Woo!
Yay! Yay! I didn't even prompt him for that. I was just like, I'm sure he'll figure it out.
That's what being a professional is all about.
Oh, I'm glad we finally got a professional on the
I know,
podcast.
Right? We have just elevated the class level of this show sevenfold. And let's drop it back down to our base level with what you drinking, because I've got a bottle of Laphroaig and I'm drinking it straight from the bottle.
I am so jealous.
Yeah.
I'm doing my leftover booze concoctions.
Ooh.
I told Joe to pick me up some Dr. Pepper because it's a universal mixer, right?
Yes.
A lot of the leftover booze, I was like, that, I don't think that's going to work too well. So what I put in here is effing blood orange vodka. So we'll see if the prune helps balance out that blood orange. Maybe it'll mesh together, maybe not. But again, bottle cocktail. So let's see how this goes. Oh, actually, though, that is way better than it has any right to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, in my mind, I was tasting that, and it was... like, it sounds like it tastes pretty good.
Yeah, we'll see if the lavender works as well as Dr. Pepper. But yeah, I am pleasantly surprised. I was afraid that they were going to clash, but nope.
All right.
Universal Mixer proves its worth once again.
Excellent. Or Duck, yeah. Go for it, Duck.
I'll go next. I realized, it's like, we drink on this show sometimes. So I threw together something. I haven't done a lot of drinking in quarantine, so I'm like, I don't even remember the last time I had a drink was. Oh. But this is just a little bit of some stuff I had lying around. It is some Diet Mountain Dew mixed with some St. Germain's coconut rum. Grenadine and orange bitters.
Oh,
dang!
I'm calling it the Merganser. So,
well, he's been on this podcast twice, three times.
I guess three or four.
Yeah,
and it was a long time ago. But his drink is already classier.
Said at the beginning that he's a professional, James.
This is amazing.
Yeah, I know. Watch and learn, James. Watch and learn.
Yeah. I got some real fun kombucha from the pour-your-own growler station at the Wedge.
Mm.
And I just mixed it with hard cider because...
Because
when I tasted it, I was like, you know what this needs? Booze and apples.
So how's your boozy apple kombucha?
Oh, wow. I'm going back in.
Okay. So I'm going to assume that's tasty then. That or you had no idea what was going on. Whoa. That's finished. He just said that. All right.
Either that was really good or really bad.
You just wanted to get it over with, maybe?
I'm gonna need another one.
Oh,
but
so either it was really good or he hates himself.
Por que no los dos?
Yeah, so tasty.
That is the motto.
Yeah, okay. Good. Hooray, yeah. Good booze all around.
All right.
Feel good about how that went.
Indeed. Yeah. Cheers, everyone.
So, hey, Salsa.
Yeah.
Cheers. Okay. It's also what you've been up to.
I did not have a hockey game. That's what I did not do.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, the home opener for the Minnesota Magicians was postponed due to COVID concerns.
Right.
So, yep.
So you landed this new job and you don't get to work it.
I haven't been able to work it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can't they just have the players show up on Zoom and... No? Is that not how nipples work? I don't remember.
Broadcasting them playing PlayStation 4? Like,
yeah. Dad, I would watch that.
NHL 2020.
I would buy a fucking ticket. Are you kidding me? That's brilliant.
Yeah. And then they have the mascot in the other little Zoom window just doing magic tricks for everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, that...
I'm bored of this.
So, Salsa, was it COVID concerns with the players or COVID concerns generally?
I do not know. I found out because of a Facebook post where it was, you know, vague, where it was just basically like, there's COVID concerns and something, blah, 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 so the games will be rescheduled for another time. And so I was like, I emailed my boss and was like, so I don't need to show up? And he was like, oh yeah, sorry, forgot to let you know. So for Duck, who doesn't know what's going on here, I'm a paid volunteer for the Minnesota Magicians, which is a local semi-pro hockey team. And so I'm not like on the staff or anything like that. I'm just a guy that shows up and then they pay me cash out of the till, you know? So it's not like I'm on the email list. It was just kind of like other things were happening, and I'm sure that he had plenty of stuff on his plate to remember to send me an email.
I've seen some posts about that. You're basically doing like Moneyball stuff with that team, right?
Where you're it's not even that sexy. It's literally updating their website. So when you go to any sports event, if you go to the website for that team, you will see like the play-by-play stats as they happen, like, you know, goals, assists, hits, penalties, things like that, just updating in real time. That's all I'm doing, is just doing those real-time updates of the statistics as they happen. So I will be sitting basically next to the announcer in the arena, and as those stats are fed up to him, they will, you know, also pass by me, and I'll update the website saying, you know, the goal was by this person, assists by this person, you know, at this time, and stuff like that. So it's not a difficult or, you know, glamorous job, but it's something that needs to be done. So they were just like, we'll pay you a small stipend and you get into the games for free.
Well, maybe someday someone will look at the statistics that you put in there and they'll turn it into Moneyball
absolutely. That information is getting aggregated in places, because that is definitely information that scouts for, you know, NHL scouts and people like that look at. So those stats are important. I'm just not doing the analyzing. I'm just doing the data entry. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to do that.
Aww.
So, a lot less interesting of a weekend than I wish. It did mean I got to spend more time, you know, puttering around in the shop with the lathe, playing around.
But, which was a terrible shame.
I know, it was awful.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Whatever will I do? But, yeah.
Hobbies?
It's weird. Maybe we can don't have those.
I don't understand.
What about you guys?
I got to look at an apartment just a few hours ago. And it is tiny. But that's okay, because it's not like I'm having people over. Mm. So, yeah.
It's true.
No, let me tell you, doing an apartment viewing in the COVID times is weird. like, they were very good. Everything was about as safe as you could expect, right? I was wearing a mask. They were wearing a mask. They handed me some disposable gloves, and they were wearing gloves. We rode the elevator one at a time. And in fact, the elevator was going back down, and one of the people that lived in the apartment complex, residents, that's the word I'm looking for. Yeah, I knew it was there somewhere. But yeah, one of the residents, like, the doors opened for them, and they're like, oh, I'll take the next one. And then just, yeah. So, like, the residents were being good. There were signs all over the place about you wear masks in all common areas, blah, 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 whatever. So, so yeah, it is the apartment, that I am about to apply for, is 620 square feet, which is half the size of what I'm living in now. So, it's very exciting. But it is a one bedroom, which is enough for just me.
Yeah, you're not going to have roommates or anything, so.
Well, yeah, it's not. I'm not having people over.
And you're not having mice over.
I'm not having mice over, and boy, howdy! Like, that was the best part about the entire experience. Is not once was I like, oh God, is that a mouse? No, no, no. There was none of that. It was lovely. So good, you guys. But yeah, it also, so it's got like this tiny ass kitchen. Like, it is so adorable. James would be so excited over this tiny ass kitchen. I'm not entirely certain you could fit into it. With my hips wide, barely fit into this kitchen thing.
Ooh, that is a tiny kitchen.
It is a tiny kitchen. I might be exaggerating slightly, but not by much. But it has a tiny little dishwasher.
Aww.
So cute.
Look at the little guy.
Yeah.
If you took a regular sized dishwasher and made it about 4 inches shorter and maybe 2/3 the size of it, and I'm just like, oh my God, look at you. You're so adorable.
Yeah, if it would have to be bigger for them to call it a dishes washer.
Yeah, it's just one singular.
It's just the one.
But plenty of closet space.
Nice. Very good.
The rooftop lounge, you guys. Okay, so this apartment complex is on the northeast corner of Bidet-Makaska. And more up against Lake of the Isles, kind of a thing, like in that little corner. It's right off of the mall, which is 29th.
Is that where? Isn't there like a burger place in that mall? Is that the mall you're talking about?
No, it's not. It's not in the mall. It is on a parkway called the Mall.
Oh, okay.
But it's essentially like right off of the Greenway, basically.
Yeah, the mall you're thinking of, Duck, is the mall called the Parkway. She lives on the Parkway. It's called the Mall.
This basically, yes. Yeah. But yeah, so like it's on the corner of Lagoon and Knox. Basically, so a couple blocks down from the theaters and all of that. So yeah, but this apartment complex has a rooftop lounge with a little. It's got two grilling stations.
Jeez.
A rooftop pool. A rooftop party room that is reservable.
Dang.
And a little rooftop fire pit.
Neat.
And you go out onto this rooftop and you're thinking like, yeah, but really on the roof? And then you look out over Bidet-Makaska and you're like, oh yes.
Yeah.
Lovely views. So yeah. And it only costs $28 more a month than my current place does for me now.
Wow.
And yeah, I'm losing some space, but it's like just a few blocks from everything in Uptown that I like. A couple blocks down from Sushi Tango, if there's still going to be a thing. I don't know.
Sushi Tango closed. It's not there anymore.
Oh, no. Yeah. It's several blocks farther away from Salsa.
That's always a plus.
Is an amenity. Yeah.
Yeah, it's about the same distance from James that I am now, so that's fine. But yeah, and it doesn't have mice. There's underground parking.
Ooh.
Yes. A little extra a month for that, good, which I'm totally winter. Willing to pay for.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And also doesn't have mice. Did I mention doesn't have mice?
Maybe. Hmm.
Yeah, no.
This might be the first time you're bringing it to our attention.
No signs of mice.
Uh-huh.
Also, no mice. So, yeah.
None.
Wow. Or nuns.
None mice. If it does have mice, they are strictly
brides of Christ,
cloistered.
Yeah, I mean, I think mice with like long yardsticks are scarier than mice without them.
I would agree with that. Oh God.
Well, at least they're easier to find because then you're like, fuck, and they're like, oh, for the love, and just you're like. That's where they are. There we go.
They use those long sticks to set off the traps without actually having to get in the trap.
But the thing is cunning. They're really easy to catch, though, because they're creatures of habit.
God damn it, Paulka. God fucking damn it. I expect this kind of behavior from James, not from you. Yeah, and then so I was talking with the leasing agent, and he was adorable. And by that, I mean he's in his final year of college for an engineering degree.
Oh, wow!
And I was like, "Oh, you're like what? A couple of years older than my daughter? Great!"
Oh wow!
Oh buddy! Oh, and he'd be my neighbor, so you know that was just cute.
You'll have to keep your parties down so that he can study.
Oh my god.
Good.
Yes.
Good, all right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can, you know, invite him to my parties and have some booze or not. I think so. I'm not sure. That's weird. I'm so confused. But yeah, so yeah, I had the best tour I possibly could have under the circumstances. I'm applying for it tonight. I get 1 month free rent, which means, well, okay, and I forgot to tell you guys about maintenance, Mike. So I'm waiting for, I get into the building and I meet with the leasing agent that's in the office, and she's like, oh, your leasing person will be right down. He's just finishing up a thing. And maintenance Mike was there. And boy, howdy, did he have a lot to say. He was talking, he's like, oh, yeah, no, apartments here right now are a real good deal because, you see, there's all of this unrest happening in the area, and so we had to kind of drop everything a bit. So you got to lock that in now is what you got to do. And I'm like, oh my God, you're adorable.
Oh wow. And here I thought Maintenance Mike would be the terrible Asylum Films knockoff of Magic Mike.
Oh. And here Jen is like, my other place is like blocks away from Third Precinct. What are you talking about, unrest in the area?
I'm like, well, not blocks away, but like, I'm like, yeah, unrest over here, sweetie. And there is a lot going on in that area right
sure,
now.
Sure, yeah, but
like, I don't know. It's not a building burning down 500 feet from my house, so
yeah,
better. I'm gonna go with better. I'm gonna go with better. Yeah. So yeah. But Maintenance Mike was adorable, and I really hope I get this place just so I can have more tales from Maintenance Mike.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God, he was so sweet. Oh, jeez. oh, he had so much to say, and he was just kind of off kilter, but so adorably Minnesotan in his off kilter. It was so cute.
Oh, I look forward to this.
Did you ask Maintenance Mike about the Minnesota mice?
I did not. I did not.
Maintenance Mike probably knows if that building has mice.
No. Well, he was very proud of his good, clean. He was like, oh, and we clean all the time because, you know, you got to clean because of the COVID. And so cute. He was so fucking adorable.
So, like, are we talking, like, 60s or 90s here?
I'm going to say 50s, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, that seems, that fits.
Say about 50.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. He just had so much to say about it. Yeah.
Cool. What about you, James?
So that's what I did.
This weekend was my mom's birthday. Speaking of people who talk like this.
I love how you said your mom's birthday.
Yeah, my mom's birthday. Yeah, she's 71.
Yay!
Now. Yeah, which is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that. And, yeah, so went over to my parents' place on Friday night in order to drop off some gifts. And I thought that they were going to do, like, a socially distance. I thought they were going to have, like, a little fire going or something like that with the nice weather, that they would be sitting outside enjoying the, like, deck area that my dad laid out. The patio area? Patio area is what I'm thinking of. Nope. Nope. Oh. They just... I don't know if I got there too late or what. They knew when I was going to be there. But I showed up, rang the bell, and then after like a minute or two, my dad wanders up. He's like, oh, well, you made it. All right. Well, okay. Well, I'll let your mom know that you're here. And he just goes, well, why don't you come in and take a look at the thing that I just finished, and you can get my webcam working, and you can all of it for my work meetings. And my and I'm like, Dad, I can't walk in there. That's no, it's not. It's, no, but thanks. Thank you. Yeah, no, so then we just stood outside Friday night having a super awkward conversation with my parents, whom I love. And for my mom's birthday, and I just dropped off like some handmade treats from a local manufacturer, and then one of the cheeseburgers that I knitted. Occasionally, I like to leave her with inexplicable crafts that I have made. It's a long history of this, including when I was in stagecraft in college, I welded a project which was a desk set that would hold a stapler, a notepad, several pens, and a pair of scissors. It was made out of case-hardened steel. I got an A on it as a project, and so I spray-painted it flamboyantly gold and put little rubber feet on it and gave it to my mom for her birthday. And she picked, well, first of all, she went to pick it up and she's like, oh, that is very heavy. Oh, and I was like, well, yeah, it won't tip over. You can put it next to your phone at work. And she's like, oh yeah, at work. Oh, sure. Right. So, like, yeah, no, the best part was, like, she did put it on her desk at work. Bless her heart. She put it on her desk. And when I asked her about it later, she was like, yeah, it's still there. Yeah, a couple of the attorneys have asked me about it, and they said, well, what's that? And I said, oh, you know, it's a little desk set that my son made for me. And they said, oh, that's so cute. How old is he? Oh, he's 28. Oh. Yeah. So, yeah, and many, many things. Many things just like this. Yeah. I'm sure that that is that, and the Mother's Day gifts, and the, you know, all of the flowers are a suitable thanks for having to lug me around for 9 months and then carry me for the rest of my life so far. So oh, yeah, there's
and now the rest of us have to carry you,
right? Yeah, so now I can weld you a desk set.
I would love a welded desk set.
Yes, yeah? I want one.
Right. I would absolutely take it to work.
I should. Oh, I could make you headphone stands.
Yes, I would absolutely use that.
Yeah, this is. This is what should happen. This is what should always have happened. Okay, all right, yeah. Okay, I have plans. They're very stupid, but I have plans.
Good, you better follow through because our listeners will ask.
Oh God, yes, they will.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the breadth and depth of what I was up to, was just helping to celebrate my mom's birthday and then just relaxing. Just, I don't know how much we're going to get into it, but I just, I don't feel completely at ease, but I do,
I feel better?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not actively on fire.
Yeah, what some did of you do time. On Saturday? Because Saturday I got the news and I just started drinking mimosas and that was my Saturday. Mm-hmm. That was it.
I bottled my cider. And so I was drinking a lot of that.
Yeah, okay.
Fair.
Just anyway. But then there was a reason.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Like, my brewing corner looks so empty now.
Because you bottled it all?
I bottled 16 gallons of fermentables. Meaning there's
got
only
like... He's got like brewer's postpartum right now. I don't know what's.
There's only like 17 gallons of stuff left over.
The look
there.
On Jenna's face is the best right now.
As the only person on this podcast who has gone through postpartum, no.
Oh, okay.
It is not.
I will trust your expertise, though.
As the only person on this podcast who has gone through brewer's postpartum, though. No, it is. It's so weird because there is still 17 gallons of other stuff fermenting over there, but it seems so empty.
Ah, yes.
I feel like this is more emptiness than postpartum.
We'll go
okay,
with that.
All right.
Yep.
I mean, you've spent some time trying to get it to maturity, and now it's bottled and out the door.
That's bottled and going off on its own to local universities.
Oh God.
Pretty soon it's going to be managing a building.
It's probably taking classes with my leasing agent. It's fine.
Living next to Jenna. Good. All right.
Oh, it can live with me. And in me.
Right.
Okay. Awkward.
Are we still talking about the beer? Are we talking about the young gentleman that's going to live next to
us? No. Oh, God. He is so not done baking yet. that kid is sweet and adorable. And he has the most trusting face. He's like the most adorable little, like, pseudo dude bro ever. He's just... He's adorable. Like I want to bake him cookies, is what it is, really.
You always hear about, like, alligators that people have flushed into the sewers living and becoming, you know, like, much bigger alligators, adult alligators, and this is, like, somebody's Skipper doll lost her boyfriend somewhere and it grew up.
And yes, is like actually very much so like that. Oh my god.
Good. Wow. All right.
Wow, James.
Yep.
Wow. Well, should we should we take a break and then talk to our guest here?
I would love that.
Yes. Yes, all right. Please.
We're going to take a break and then we'll talk to Duck.
See you guys in a minute, or hear you in a minute, or whatever. And you'll hear me in a minute.
Ha, take that.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
All right, Salsa, are you ready?
I'm playing with the foil on my bottle right now.
You've been foiled.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
God damn it. No. No.
Caught in the act. I'm James.
Catch me in a pun. I'm Jenna.
And I'm Duck.
Yay, Duck.
Yeah.
We're going to get to you in just a second, Duck, but... Jenna, a pun. Tisk, tisk.
Shut your mouth. You shut your mouth. You shut it. Just shut your mouth. Duck. Hey, Duck. How's it going, buddy?
It's going well. It's going well. Thanks for having me on.
Hell yeah.
I've been up to. I mean, I'm always, you know, trying to keep busy. The things that aren't theater related that I've been working on. I just got a new stove, which I'm really excited about.
I saw that. It's so cool.
It's pretty great. I used to manage a Perkins in Roseville, like way back in the day. And since working there, I get frustrated cooking on anything that's not like big flat top griddle. So,
yes.
So I got a new stove and then I bought a new flat top griddle that goes on top of it.
Nice.
It has a nice, really hardwood cutting board that goes on top of it so that it's, you know, covered when it's not in use and you can use it for an extra surface, which is great because we don't have a really big kitchen. And then, you know, when you're ready to use it, you take it off, you heat up the griddle, and then you just cook on a big flat space without needing to use pans, which is awesome for me.
Nice.
God,
love it.
Fucking awesome, yeah.
Yeah. No, having worked in a restaurant as well, I feel your pain there. Damn, that sounds sweet.
When were you working at Perkins in Roseville?
I worked for Perkins, I'm going to guess that was... probably like 2000 to like 2005.
Oh my god, I spent so much time there.
Yeah, it would have been the Perkins in Roseville.
Yep. Yeah, because I went to Hamlin. And then lived in the Hamlin area, and that's where we all went. I went on a not date there once that I didn't find out wasn't a date until we were halfway through and he started talking to me about another girl.
No, it was funny because I decided I wanted to apply there because I had been doing so much theater my whole life. I was like, I don't know how to create art that's connected to real people, so I need like a real person job. And I'm just gonna go into Perkins and I'm gonna be a host and like not have responsibility, and it's gonna be awesome. And 2 months later, I was a manager, and like people were like, I remember when you came in here and you were like, I'm just going to be a host and not have any responsibility. It's like, oh, yeah, that was a thing that I said.
Oops. Nice.
But yeah, I was the guest services manager, and then I was also the kitchen manager, at one point. So I pretty much did most of the stuff.
Can I just back up for a second? You, in your interview, said that you wanted to have no responsibility and they hired you?
Well, I didn't say that in my interview, but I did say that to my coworkers maybe after I had started.
Okay. Okay, I was actually really worried about the hiring.
I was fighting wow. being promoted, like, at the very yeah. beginning. I was like, no, I don't want to do that. I just want to be a host. That was my goal. And then that lasted for about 2 weeks. And then I was like, oh, crap. Because it just didn't fit my work ethic to not do that.
I hate it when responsibility just happens on you.
It's like, I don't want to be responsible. Okay.
And it wasn't that I didn't want to work hard. It was just that I didn't want to have, like, my first job, I worked for Potter Park Zoo in Lansing, Michigan. As a teenager, I ended up being the assistant manager of the Zoological
Society.
You know, so at 17... I was in charge of a staff of like 30 people. I had never really had a job where it was just like,
I want to say,
like my kid's job or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by any of this.
No, we've met, Duck.
We
understand.
Yeah.
So you got your swank new stove.
So I got my swank new stove. We've been having a little bit of work on the house done, which is nice. You know, things that we've wanted to get done for a really long time. We put brand new gutters up. We had the trim and fascia repainted so that it matches those gutters. I have people coming out to give siding quotes this week, and the one who's coming tomorrow, I'm kind of excited about because he initially sent me an email that was like, you know, hi, it's me from Patrick's Construction or whatever. And he was like, I'm here to talk to you about your car's warranty. It's like, no, I'm just kidding. I was like, all right. this guy is barking up the right tree.
We got a sense of humor. This is a positive.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Good.
You got to hang around my house for a little while. It's good that you have a sense of humor. Because you might step in dog shit and then, you know, and you'll roll with it. But yeah, so that's been what's going on in the house. I have been doing actually I've been teaching some classes on allyship, on how to be a better ally so that, people can figure out how to support the people of color in their community and a little bit better. Mm-hmm. I'm doing that through the Theater of Public Policy, which is awesome. We just had a class yesterday. I have to teach another class tomorrow morning, but there've been a whole slew of those, and that's been a nice experience to go through. Especially post-election, it was kind of like, it's interesting, the classes I did before and after, like the weight is a little different.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm glad that people are still really engaged and interested. I worried that people would just be like, well, we got the other guy, so now our job is done. And I didn't, and that's not obviously the right answer.
No.
Sure, yeah. Our work here is done.
But yeah, so there's been that. I've started. Whew, that's an exciting noise.
Huh, yeah, that was.
That, who was it?
I didn't hear anything.
Well, then it was salsa.
It was a very
high electric noise.
It might have been me opening the pulling the cork out of the bottle of Lafroig.
No.
It was not a natural sound. It was an electronic sound.
Yeah,
for sure.
It was electronic. It was loud, and it was at least a second.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, you'll see it on the waveforms when you're editing this.
You'll be like, what the fuck is that?
I'll sync it up with Dark Side of the Moon. It'll be great.
Ooh.
Nice. Theater of Public Policy, you guys are doing regular shows, aren't you? Regular Zoom shows?
Yeah, Theater of Public Policy has been really great. After COVID hit, it was the first group that I was involved with that was like, hey, let's keep doing shows. And so we've actually done two seasons of performances since March. The current season is still going, but I just finished my last show of the season because I was very front loaded in the season. But they're great. For anybody who doesn't know what the Theater of Public Policy is, it is a group formed by Tane Danger and Brandon Boat, where they decided they were both public policy majors, but also improvisers, and really thought they wanted to find a way to make public policy issues more embraceable. And so they created this show where they would have, they would invite a guest to come. And some of our guests have been people like we just had the president of the University of Minnesota. We had the, you know, talking about the State of the U. We had the head of the Secretary of State, the Minnesota Secretary of State, came on and talked about voting, you know, and the way that Minnesota was set up for the upcoming vote at that time, all kinds of things like that. So it might be a city council person talking about a proposed pipeline or something, things that aren't really all that exciting necessarily, although they're super important. And so what we do is Tane does an interview with the guest, you know, for usually about a half an hour. And then there's a team of us improvisers, like lurking in the background, who do improvised comedy based on the interview that was just given when that's over. And then after that, they do a Q&A section with the audience, and then we do another round of improv after the Q&A. Nice. And I think it's great. We get to really tackle and learn about some fun and amazing things. But they still have shows going, you know, for a few more weeks this month for this season. And then there's all kinds of other programming that they're doing. They have a Let's Get Uncomfortable series, which is just, you know, people in communities getting together and talking about the problems with systemic racism in their neighborhoods. The next step up is the curriculum they had me develop, which is the Be a Better Ally training.
Nice.
As well. And yeah, that's the public policy. Which we'll get back to when we talk about Give to the Max Day.
A little foreshadowing
for anybody who's salivating for Give to the Max Day. Hot, sweet, sweet Give to the Max Day news.
You know who you are, Troy.
Yeah.
Hold out.
Yeah.
I also this weekend had another meeting with John Heimbeck and David Pisa of Walking Shadow, because we are developing a new interactive online theatrical experience, which I don't want to go into a lot of detail yet because we don't know 100% sure when it's coming or, you know, and I don't want to give away too many specifics. But you can know there's going to be a really, really cool project coming in that regard. I got to write a script for the upcoming performance of Big Fun Radio Fun Time, which Fearless Comedy is doing on December 5th.
Nice.
So it's one of the dumbest scripts I ever wrote. It's great. and it was when I sent it over to Tim, and I was like, this is hella stupid, but hopefully it's also fun. And he was like, no, this is great. And I was like, good, because it may have just been a script that would make me and James laugh. I specifically wrote it thinking, I bet you James thinks this is hilarious.
I have concerns all of this.
Jenna looks like she just ate a lemon.
Which is funny because she was the one
who dropped the opening pun on this.
You shut. I said you shut. I said shut.
Sorry.
I said shut.
Sorry.
There was a short comedic story I wrote once about Cuba Gooding Jr. that James was a very big fan of, and is probably the closest thing to that I've written since.
I love it. I love it so much.
Oh gosh!
Speaking of Give to the Max, do we want to talk about that?
Like Give to the Max talking about
time. Did you have more duck? Like,
well, you also have to realize that I'm a person. You can say talk about your projects, and then we could be here for 3 years talking about projects. But yeah, we can talk about Give to the Max now. I think that's
so. What are you doing for Give to the Max? Who are you supporting this year?
Well, I'm supporting a whole bunch of stuff.
I was about to say, how many places? Are you start with a number and work from there.
I'll have to count as we go. Okay. So there's the Theater of Public Policy, obviously, which I had highlighted before. They're trying to raise $5,000 for their Give to the Max Day fundraiser.
Nice.
And I have to say that even though we've continued to do work, a lot of it has been not exuberantly profitable. Everything's been done at donations, but the company's been really committed to making sure that we all get paid for our work. And they pay us pretty well for our work. But at the expense of that, it's definitely a harder time on those running the theater. So I'd love to see them hit their goal for Give to the Max Day. So that's one. I'm an instructor at Huge Theater, teaching improv. I just recently finished teaching my very first online 101 improv class. Which was like really, really fun and amazing. But my class has decided that they want to support Huge. And so they are going to be doing a performance as a part of the Huge's Improvathon to help raise money for Huge as well. So that show will be on Friday the 19th at 5:00. And you should tune in. It'll be, this group of students' very first time performing improv in front of people, and it's online. So
God.
I'd really love to see them be supported because they're tremendous and delightful. And I know they're going to do fantastic.
I will put a link in the show notes for that.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Nice.
Yeah. Give us links for everything. We'll get them all in there.
I will send them all. what else am I supporting? Obviously, Fearless Comedy Productions is the Max fundraiser as well. We have a bunch of different fundraising teams going on. I'm a part of the Spooky Squad, and if you go to our fundraiser page, you can see there's a bunch of stuff that you can get us to do for different donation levels. You can have us read you a really bad joke while dressed as a ghost. You can have me do that for $5. I just wrote an obituary for Jim Lewis for $20, which is really great. There's all different types of levels. You can get us to do specific shows and things if we hit different fundraising levels. But it's great. And I obviously really, really love Fearless. And I'm super happy to support that too. And then there's going to be a karaoke fundraiser that goes along with that as well. That'll be happening, too, as part of Give to the Max. Also with Huge, Blackout Improv is going to be doing a performance that evening. And so I will be performing with Blackout. I think that's at 9:30 on Thursday the 19th. There was a point where they were trying to figure out how to fill some really horrible time slots. And so I reached out to Sean Dillon over at Huge, and I was like, if you need help filling time, I can figure out how to fill up a time. So at 3:00 in the morning on Thursday, I guess that's technically Friday morning, Eric Thompson and I are going to do a brand new duo improv act called The Apartment, which is a show where... we can go forward and backward in time through the existence of this space, but everything takes place in one apartment.
Is it tiny, like my future apartment?
Well, I don't know. It depends on the set. Whatever, okay. It's improv, so it could end up being a huge apartment. In rehearsal the other day, we had a normal sized apartment that had giant doors so that you could park your Jeep in the closet.
Nice.
Well, you just never really know what's gonna come up.
Yes.
Fair enough.
So that's some of my Give to the Max Day stuff. That's the stuff that's popping up at the top of my head. Climb Theater just had me do like a promotional spot for them. That's a company I worked for right out of college. And I told them I would give them a good testimonial, as it was a huge part of my growing up as a performer.
Sure.
I feel,
yeah.
Never in my life have I seen theater impact people the way I did when I was doing it for students.
So, nice.
Yeah. What about you all? What are you doing for Give to the Max Day?
Well, now I just feel lazy, really.
Yeah, Duck does Give to the Max like Jenna does Fringe.
I mean, Duck does Fringe like Jenna does Fringe sometimes,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. I mean, there's that, too. But,
I mean,
I think my max is 6 shows in a year.
No, I did 7 productions one year. So I think I still have that, but I mean,
it's
only
not
in a
one
technical
I, it's not one I really have a passion to overtake you on.
No, that's okay. You shouldn't. It's stupid. Don't do it. It's a trap. Yeah, well, Salsa and I are on the same team for Fearless.
Yes, indeed.
Old-timey entertainment.
And we are doing really well.
We're doing really
yeah.
well.
Wow.
I did not expect us to get to this point, honestly.
Well, I mean, we have awesome, you know, rewards, so obviously.
It's true.
That's true. Which I'm so excited. So we hit our $250 goal.
Yep.
Which means everybody who has donated or will donate, once they donate, we will send them a postcard with a joke on it, which is great.
Mm-hmm. That is great.
We do not guarantee the quality of the joke.
Oh God, no! I've done 2 now, and they're not puns, but they're not. Yeah. Anyway, they're jokes. They are technically jokes. And then we hit our $500 goal. So we are doing our chain video pie fight, which I got to shoot that yesterday with Joe. And we got everything done. And like a couple hours later, his upstairs neighbor is on the upstairs balcony smoking. And he's like, hey, neighbor next door said that you two were hitting each other with pies. And I was like, no, Joe was just hitting me with pies. I did not get to hit him with pies. Very important.
I roped my kids.
That with pies is a really important end of that sentence. So you don't want to be. You heard your neighbor said that you were hitting each other. At the end of there,
yeah,
it would be very
scary. That's different. No, with pies. There were pies.
I roped my kids into helping me with my section of the pie fight, and they jumped in there like just, oh, they were having a grand old time.
Your kids are fucking pro.
Aren't they,
Salsa?
Aren't they great?
They know. They know how to do this.
Oh, no, they were great.
Yeah.
Put the camera on them. I told them what to do. We rehearsed it twice, and then we hit go, and yeah, they performed admirably. So.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
We've hit our $750 goal.
Jeez.
I know, right? It's fucking bizarre. Which means several of the members of the team will be taking old-time photos doing anachronistic things. And it's not one time, there will be several different time periods represented doing anachronistic things, like doing something on a computer, virtual reality, I think, is one of the things that's going to be done. Like those pictures will be coming up, which means we are working towards our $1,000 goal. In which we will be doing duck and cover PSAs, but not duck and cover.
Right, of course.
But
right, you knew that was coming.
Cover, yeah.
But yeah, duck.
Because the duck part of that is important, but before you do the duck part, you have to get permission from my partner.
I know what I'm doing.
Fair. So yeah, we're going to do duck and cover PSAs for things that don't require a duck and cover PSA.
Mm-hmm.
So those will be fun.
So looking forward to those.
I don't. Yeah. So, and we're really close to that goal too.
We are at 850, I want to say.
Somewhere about there, which is ridiculous.
So we're not that far away. Yep. We can easily do it.
So yeah, that's what all the timey entertainment is doing with Fearless. James.
The Dungeon Drawlers. I have announced and started my Dungeon Drawlers campaign for stupidity, in that for every $5 or more that somebody donates, I will create a very stupid adventurer name. I will tell them if their adventurer has lived or died based on the flip of a coin, and if their character died, how they died, or if their character lived, how that character made their fortune. And I've even drawn a little backdrop for it with treasures and torches and a little skeleton. And so I'm giving people these image macros that have that in the background and have their character stuff in the foreground. And this is based on one of my personal favorite very quick improv games. From Mystery Science Theater, there was a film called Space Mutiny where they kept giving this, like, power lifter main character, David Ryder, Dave Ryder nicknames. It was the Dave Ryder nickname game. Every time he would appear on screen, they would be like, Buff Super Chunk, Fridge McLarge Huge, like, Meat Squat Thrust. And so it's always, like, three big, bulky sounding words, and so I'm that's what I'm doing. I ended up playing that for many years with my former co-host for the Awful Copter, Barreled, and so I feel like I've got a handle on writing incredibly stupid names for adventurers. And then divining equally dumb ways that they will live and die. I understand that not everybody can pay that money, or that that people may be looking for an additional way to help in addition to helping to fund us. And by sharing that particular story, they can do that. They can help spread the word. And so for a certain number of shares or a certain number of, you know, likes and hearts and cares and things like that, I am posting really badly designed dungeon traps. Just really very stupid things. So I'm looking forward to people helping us out with money and getting their character cards. And then people liking and sharing and receiving in exchange just, I want to say, maliciously stupid traps. The way that I pitched it was that these are traps absolutely guaranteed to snare someone who has a negative intelligence modifier.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So if somebody gets like a minus one to all intelligence checks.
That's just it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
So, I think our big upcoming goal, our first big milestone is we have a small campaign of an increasingly popular role-playing system called 10 Candles that I'll be participating in, and I'm super excited because it's supposed to be a little spooky and very fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just hearing about this game a couple days ago. It sounds really dope.
Yeah.
Yay.
Cool.
Yay.
So, I did realize there's a couple of things I should talk about that I will probably kick myself if they don't get mentioned.
Go for it.
Okay, yes. Do it.
All right. So these aren't Give to the Max related, but next week, which is also happening on top of Give to the Max, I am doing my first in-person theater show since COVID hit. So I am in a show called To Breed or Not to Breed, which is being put on by Fortune's Fool Theater Company at the Crane Space. And it's all performances of performers from all over the Twin Cities performing community, doing basically performed monologues about the decisions they've made about whether or not to have children. And there's a lot of really interesting different perspectives happening throughout that piece. But I've been really impressed with the care in making sure that the environment is safety. Each week has a different group of performers. The first week actually just closed, so that group of performers is done. There will be a different group of performers performing this week, and then next week I'll be in that final set of performers for the run. But it should be a great show. They're limiting the audience to 20 people per performance. And then for those who aren't comfortable going to the space, even though that'll be very spaced out, they are going to do a recording that'll be released at a later time as well.
Nice.
So I encourage everybody to look out for that. And then of course, just I'm sure there's an audience overlap for this one, but I will be performing in Vilification Tennis Works from Home on November 27th. Which will be a blast.
Yay!
Cool.
Very cool.
Looking forward to those. Again, just make sure you send me links to all of those.
Will do.
So I don't.
Salsa just gets spammed. You just like
that's
one
okay
after the other.
I can never remember everything that is said in these things, and so
barely remember anything that's
said. Exactly. I put the onus on you. If you didn't send me a thing that doesn't go on the website, that's
fair.
That way I don't have to worry about it because I'm lazy.
All right. Jack, you got anything else you've been up to? Anything else you want to chat about? Or should we maybe take a break?
I'm not always up to stuff, you know, like I'm the performer who, when we get to the end of a Ville show and they're like, does anybody have anything to plug?
Know the feeling.
I'm always like, how many things can I mention before people just start to get pissed off?
So you're doing those five things this month? No, that's tomorrow.
Yeah, so what we've covered, I think, most of the things I'm doing from between now and the end of the month. And
okay.
I think that's probably good. I think that's good. I think
that's
we can leave December for now.
All right.
In that case, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back, and you know what happens next.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Jenna, that's an extremely funny joke.
Thank you. I'm glad I could explain it.
That does make it funnier.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Doug.
Yay!
Dear listeners, do you see what I have to work with here?
Yeah, Doug's amazing.
It's true.
What the hell?
He absolutely.
Don't be an asshole.
You know what else is amazing? A Fast Five. Today's Fast Five comes to us from Stefan.
Yay, Stefan!
All right. The subject line on this email is...
Wait. Doc, I know it's been a while. Do you remember how this works?
I I'm not 100%. I remember this being a thing, but I don't remember 100%.
Explain that.
Okay.
Okay. Well, Jenna?
I can explain it. Okay. So we are going to be given two choices. Just two choices, A or B. And then there's no context. So we just have to pick without context what our choice is.
Oh, and then we find out what the actual question was.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then we do five of those, and then we go find out what the context is.
Great. I remember now. Thank you.
Right. Cool.
So, Stefan, the subject line for this is Fast Five World Tour Number 2. Sync Rapide Questions. C-I-N-Q. Sync.
Yeah.
So, French.
Yeah.
French.
Je ne parle pas français.
Five fast questions, I guess. I don't speak
French. You're a fast question.
Stefan says, oh,
probably
did
true.
You think I wouldn't milk this meta theme for all that it's worth?
First, you. Second, of course.
I mean, I already forgot about it, so no.
Oh, it's okay, Stefan Senpai.
No,
I love you.
It's nothing personal. It's me. anyway, Stefan says, here are five questions from La République Française. Curse the French. All right. Question number one.
Gerard Depardieu.
That's not question number one at all.
Oh.
Like, not even close. James.
Je m'appelle Jennifer?
Question number one.
Breguet.
Monet or Renoir?
I love Monet.
Hmm.
I know it's so incredibly passé, but no, I do. There's something about Monet and the color choices with his. I know it's overdone. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Monet.
I wonder if that's the question. I wonder if it's like which one of these very famous artists do you feel is a more unwarranted fame?
Oh, it's also Monet. Like, don't get me wrong. I know how incredibly, but I still like it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't care.
Fair enough.
All right.
I think I would say Renoir.
James going Renoir. Okay.
Yeah.
Just cause?
Well, because that's how I interpret it, is okay. which one.
I'm going to also go with Renoir, just because I think it's more fun to say Renoir.
Oh, it definitely is.
That could be the
context. Although when you say Monet, it's close to money, and money can make me happy. So I'm gonna go with Monet. Monet.
Make Monet.
Yeah, it's
although more Monet, more problems, right? I don't know.
That is the traditional wisdom, yes.
It is true that Mo Renoir, Mo Problems doesn't roll off the tongue as easily.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't.
No, I think it's Mo Renoir, Mo Questions is the...
All right. Question number two. Boulangerie or pâtisserie? Boulangerie or pâtisserie?
Boulangerie is when they used very thin strips of bacon to make lacy garments, I believe.
I know what a pâtisserie is, and that's where they make the pastries, and so I'm doing that one.
And that's what French food is all about, right? Like, that's the good stuff. Is the bread.
Well, French food is all about the butter.
Yeah.
When you put the butter on the breads.
Yes.
And in the bread.
Yeah.
And under the bread.
Around the bread, and then you dip the bread into the butter.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gut's cramping already, but I don't care. It's delicious. Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with the bread. Like, the croissant. Oh, God.
All right.
Me as well, because bon pain. Very good bread.
Mm. Ah, okay. Good bread.
All right, question number three.
Bing.
Southern or northern?
Maybe it's which one has the best memes written about it. Isn't it the northern France that has the that has Champagne, the region of Champagne in it? And then, so if it's not, it started the whole, if it's not from the blank region of France, then it's just,
I mean, that is
sparkling.
Champagne, yes, but where Champagne is, I don't know.
Yeah, it's been like 20 years since I was in French class, so...
Like, I know
wait,
that...
25 years. Fuck, I'm old.
I do know that they get really particular about saying the south of France and not southern France. So I'm going to go northern.
I grew up on the south side of Lansing, Michigan, and I currently live in South Minneapolis. So I'm going to go with south, because... I gotta stick with my piece.
All right.
Represent.
Hmm. Go ahead.
I'm going to say south or southern because it's warmer. And as we have discussed, mm-hmm. I like it warm.
All right.
For the same reasons, north.
Because
all right,
it's
well
warmer.
Done, Dave. Yes.
I mean, depending on how far south you go, I suppose.
Question number four. Le Mans, or Le Mans, if you are an American.
Le Mans. All right.
Le Mans.
Le Mans. Le Mans.
I'll catch you at Le Mans race.
Le Mans or Tour de France?
Le Mans.
Le Mans.
Which would I never participate in, and it's Tour de France because I hate it.
Hmm.
Just not as a concept, just for me personally.
I'm going to go with Tour de France because of the Kraftwerk song.
I didn't know that there was a Kraftwerk song.
I believe it's Kraftwerk, that Tour de France. Tour de France.
Yeah, that sounds like Kraftwerk right now. I believe you're correct.
I mean,
oh my god, did we suddenly have Kraftwerk on?
It's
what?
Better than anything I would have guessed. So
it's better than Fuck Capella.
Nothing's better than
Fuck Capella,
James.
You take that back, James. You take that back.
Officially rescinded.
There you go.
Thank you.
It is at least as good as Fuck Capella.
Okay.
All right. Question number five. The Louvre or any other museum in France?
Any other museum in France is what I want to visit.
Mm.
I'm going with the same.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say that not that I've ever been there, but I feel like I have more opportunities to see things that are... I want the unexplored. I want what people don't get to see. You know what I mean? Like, that isn't just in your face popular.
She wants to go to the museums that has the heads and the arms from all the other statues that are in the other museums.
I want the road less taken, goddammit.
And this is the museum with Venus de Milo's left arm.
Wondering where that went.
I'm
so was Venus.
So I think I'm going to go to the Louvre because I think that I feel like you need the Mona Lisa to do the Da Vinci Code stuff.
You
were talking about going on an adventure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to go on a detective adventure and I'm going to end up in like some kind of horror film. Is that what I'm hearing? Like,
hey.
All right.
Right, and I bet you, I mean, it's France, so some of those museums, those any other museums, are probably really fucking creepy.
Yeah.
Oof.
I can get. I'm good swearing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Watch your fucking mouth. I don't.
You're God bit right. You can.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
How dare.
No, I'm good. Here's the thing, and this has already been established, but visual art just doesn't do anything for me. Like, it just sits there and doesn't do anything, and it bores me. I get bored if it's not doing something, which is why I like performance art, you know, because something's happening. But
the day they put the Mona Lisa on a lathe, you're there.
Oh, absolutely. Hell yes. Like sculpture. Sculptures and paintings just don't do anything for me because people talk about the colors and fuck that. And they just don't go. So I get bored. So really, any museum is going to be just about the same because I'm going to look at a painting and go, eh, it's a painting.
All right. Way to experience the world around you, Salsa.
I experience the world around me in all sorts of mediums. This one medium happens to not be my thing, Jenna.
If okay. I had to choose a museum to get kicked out of, I think I would want it to be the Louvre.
Ooh.
And I think the way that I would do it would be by going in there and then just being like, hey, y'all, is this the Louvre? I'm looking for the Louvre Museum.
It's a museum in France, so that's like 20 times less offensive than what anybody else is doing in that.
The Louvre?
The French don't care what you say so long as you pronounce it properly. What's that from?
Oh.
My Fair Lady.
We're going to go over to the larva.
The Merovingian's speech from the second Matrix movie where he just like lets out a long string of French curse words and he's like, it is like wiping your ass with silk. And so, some reason that's always going to stick with me.
Okay, we're going to open up the second email now. Stefan says, Voici le contexte de mes questions.
Oh my God, Salsa!
Right now, there are you know Canadians that listening that are just
Sean Petre is having a fucking heart attack
roiling.
Right now.
We get a paper from Canada that just says, "Man spontaneously turned inside out while listening to podcast."
Like he's rolling in his grave. He is still alive. This killed him, and is. Stefan says, while I took 3 years of Latin in high school, I only took 2 semesters of French in college because I really didn't like the way the pedagogy was formatted. There was a really weird, to me, emphasis on the proper way to hem and haw in French before introducing vocabulary and grammar. Like, I get that American ums and uhs are very characteristic of our language, but do I really need to spend 2 weeks practicing not knowing what to say at a restaurant so I can say instead?
Yes. Yes, and I have a story to back that up.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Okay, I actually want this story. Let's interrupt
the
story.
Okay, make
I'm
it
curious.
Quick.
Yeah, my tour group was visiting Tallinn in Estonia, and our tour guide had an odd speech impediment, which may have been part of a language barrier. Every time she would introduce something, there would be a long pause between every few words, just during which she would vocalize the spooling of her mind as she searched for the next word. So it would be, today we are going to the television station that is the tower in and it was I noticed it after maybe a minute or two of her talking. I was like, oh God, the whole tour is going to be like this. And she was lovely, she was wonderful, she was a great tour guide, except that I after a certain point was stopping myself from laughing, which you may know is not something that I'm good at.
No.
And so like I just had to excuse myself to be other places in whatever structure very frequently. Welcome, we are at the nunnery. And I just like, oh, God. But it was a fantastic tour, and again, she was lovely. But we got back, and our teacher was like, "Oh yeah, it was awesome." But we had like a very weird tour guide, and someone was like, "Oh, did she just have like long, explosive like verbal tics between everything that she was?" So did you have Katya? Yes, we did. Oh my god. Yeah. Okay. So,
All right.
A good time was had by all.
Good story. All right.
But that's why it's important.
Anyway.
That was great, James.
Thanks, Duck.
Well played.
Stefan says, anyway, on to the context. Question number one, Monet or Renoir? Which impressionist painter would you rather have an original from?
Shit. Yeah, Renoir.
I want Monet. I want lilies.
I mean, I probably would have to change from my original answer. I'd probably want a Renoir more than a Monet.
The actual painting itself would, be really fucking expensive either way. You know, valuable either way, so... But I think I would have more fun saying, "Have you seen my Renoir?" than I would have, "Have you seen my Monet?" Have you seen my Renoir?
No, that's fair. That does that does sound way more fucking pretentious.
I know, right? It sounds. I would have so much more fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Question number two: boulangerie or patisserie? If you were to open up a bakery, would you rather focus on dinner breads or breakfast breads?
Wow.
Breakfast breads.
Is that patisserie or is
patisserie?
I think that is
would
patisserie.
Be a breakfast. More breakfasty.
Boulangerie,
pastries and donuts and stuff like that.
Boulangerie, and I would love to make a pun in the sign.
Okay. Yeah. Question number three. Southern or northern? Which part of France would you visit first? Southern France on the Mediterranean Sea by Spain and Italy, or northern France on the English Channel by Belgium and England?
Southern.
So I think I've got my regions incorrect, because I think it must be the wine region must be closer to Italy than it is to England. Famous for its wines, England.
But inclement weather does make for a more flavorful wine.
I feel like that's your bumper sticker.
No, it's true. The harder a grape needs to work, the more flavorful it is. If a grape doesn't have to work very hard, it has no flavor. If a grape has to really fight for survival, that's where
it stony
gets
soil.
All its, So, northern.
They were talking about the what makes French wines so palatable, so special is the dirt is awful.
The terroir. Also, the Champagne region is in northern.
Oh.
Aha.
The Champagne region touches Belgium.
Ew.
I don't
accidentally
want champagne. I want wine. I want wine. I don't want champagne.
Yeah.
Wine. Well, I mean, they have regular wine in Champagne as well, but... But I'm going to go...
No, it's all champagne.
I'm going to go northern anyway. Because the Mediterranean...
This is not
just,
what the meme
The Mediterranean
me.
Just sounds like it's full of bronze Italians. And no thank you.
I'm not afraid of a little pigment, Salsa. I'm going to go...
Oh, Duck, I love you so much. Fuck. That was so good.
I just remembered a thing. So we're doing the chain video pie fight, right? And the person who hits me in the face with a pie, like the previous one, is Allison Anderson, who is incredibly fair-skinned, and the hand that is hitting my face with a pie is Joe's, which is not fair-skinned. He has been getting his Asian tan on all summer, and yeah, so I'm excited for that.
Nice.
Anyway.
Question number four, Le Mans or Tour de France, which wheeled race would you prefer to watch in person?
Le Mans.
Oh, Le Mans.
Yeah, Le Mans.
Yeah. Plus, isn't Tour de France like, isn't it like three fucking days or something?
No, forever. It's forever.
It's a lot. Yeah. It's forever.
But don't you just like watch the section where they ride by where you are?
Yeah,
right?
But
like, you
Le Mans,
like,
they do that anyway.
The whole race.
Yeah.
Well, then you can see the part where it's like, oh, people just went by me.
Yeah.
That's like watching the middle part of a basketball game.
Le Mans is the same way, but then it's very loud. You know when it's about to happen because you hear the cars approaching. Yeah. But that's a 24-hour car race, and it's done in pairs. It's fascinating. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Bicycles are slower, so you get to watch them for a longer period of time. I'm going with Tour de France.
Yes, that's a selling point. Doc.
Given the choice of smells.
Because it's a choice of like, yay, woohoo, yay, or yeah.
you make a strong point.
Given
a choice between the smells of rubber and gas or bicyclists, I will choose cars.
I mean, Lance Armstrong was down to one nut. He can't smell that bad, right?
I just don't think that's true.
It's just one less sweaty ball, is all I'm saying.
Now I have to...
Okay, we're moving on. Question number five.
Are we going to tweet him and be like, Lance?
No, James, we're moving on. Question number five. The ball. The Louvre or any other museum in France, which museum would you have an easier time naming a painted which museum would you have an easier time naming a painting housed therein?
I already said the Mona Lisa was in the Louvre.
Yeah,
so that's,
yeah.
I mean,
probably. Nope, that's it.
I think we all would have said that's the same thing there.
Yep.
I'm an art enthusiast, but not an art major, so
I couldn't tell
I'd
you.
Have to go to the Louvre.
I couldn't tell you who painted what. I don't know shit about paintings. Stefan says
somewhere.
What?
Somewhere Mariah is unfriending me on Facebook is what's happening right now.
Stefan says, hope those were fun. Of course, more to come. I've really been enjoying this little research project into other countries and cultures I'm familiar with and looking up stuff to ask about. Love, Stefan. Awesome.
Yay.
If you would like to
Stefan,
send...
hold on. Yep, Stefan, yep. Thank you for bringing education and actual important stuff into this podcast.
Yeah, no shit.
That's weird and messed up.
Anyway, go...
Salsa. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first one should include nothing but the choices, and the second one, repeat those choices, and then give us the context. And you should do that, because that was our last one banked. So get that shit in!
Oh god, we need more.
I know, right? Who has
a great sweat.
Yeah. Who has a shout-out?
Very great.
I do...
Yeah.
Yes, I would like to give a quick shout out to Bob Alberti. As infrequently as I get to say that, Bob was doing a supernatural themed photo shoot on Saturday, and I was included as an extra. And both the person doing the planning. And who is the main star of the shoot, and also Bob Alberti worked very hard to make sure that I would be socially distanced and kept safe while still having a really fucking great time. One of the photos has already been released. It is my leg sticking out of a wood chipper. So it's excellent fun.
James, let's practice social distancing. Get in this wood chipper.
You're going to be very distanced from yourself.
Awesome. Yay, Bob. Bob H. Ray Sweat.
Jenna?
I would like to give a shout out to the Longfellow Market, which is currently my favorite place to do my local shopping. They have just about everything I could want, but they also have some incredibly good social distancing practices in place. They have hand sanitizer, like, fucking everywhere, just randomly on shelves sometimes. And they have frozen tamales, which I like to make. They are actually really fucking good microwaved, you guys. Recommend frozen tamales. So, yeah, I want to give a shout-out to them. They're wonderful to shop at, and I feel safe doing so.
Nice.
Also, there's one cashier that has a bedazzled mask, and it is the most incredible thing I've ever seen. The end.
Awesome. I am going to give my shout-out to Blue Sun Soda Shop. They opened up a second location not far away from my house, and so now I can get soda not far away from my house. Mm-hmm. That's really unique and interesting. And I'm happy about that. So if you live in South Minneapolis and don't want to have to drive all the fucking way up to the northern suburbs to get Blue Sun Soda Shop soda, guess what? You don't have to.
I'm so excited for this.
It's so great.
It is literally across the street from where I used to live.
So it... Oh, really?
Yeah.
So is it... have you actually been?
I have been, yes.
What's it like?
They have... So they don't have any of the games. Like, they don't have the pinball games or anything like that. They have a... so it's a very small shop. It's a very small space. But you walk in the door, and to your left is, like, the candy stuff, and they have, you know, a good selection of candy, and then to the right is all of the soda. And I was talking to Mark, and he said they took their 500 most popular sodas and also put them there. So
only the top 500.
I know,
most
right?
Popular
it's okay. No, it's so goddamn good. There's such wonderful things, and I walked away from there with a whole bunch of birch beer and cream soda and Whistler soda, which is the soda that is made in-house with all sorts of amazing flavors, the butterscotch cream and the, you know, yes, everything. They're various berries and stuff like that. Is really great. And then my kids always get the Billy soda. The Billy soda is the, because they've got Billy the soda jerk, and the Billy soda is like the grape soda is yellow, and like the lime soda is red.
Okay. And,
you know, so it's like all of the different colors do not match the flavors at all, and my kids fucking love that shit.
Right.
So, but it's fun, and nice. And like I said, you know, they have a really good selection. They have some of the weirder stuff, but they don't have the wall of weird like they do at the
location. Mm-hmm. Sure.
They got good selection of candy, good selection of soda. You know, go in there, buy some stuff. And enjoy it.
So, Duck, did you want to give a shout out? You don't have to.
Yeah,
we didn't prep you for this, but
I will give a shout out to Ilhan Omar for retaining her seat as our representative, which I bring up for a couple of selfish reasons, as well as it being you know better for everybody. On Halloween, before I was host of the Twin Cities Horror Festival, my cat magically disappeared right before the show. And so I was running around the house, like, whenever I got to turn my camera off, trying to figure out where our black cat was, because you don't want to lose a black cat on Halloween. And I found him and, you know, gave him to my wife and was like, there's the cat that we've been looking for an hour or so. And she adorned him in a Ruth Bader Ginsburg costume, posted it on the internet, and it has like 5,000 likes. So I get done with my show and she's like, the cat has like 5,000 likes on Facebook. I'm like, what a fucking asshole. And so I was like, oh, I was a little bitter about it. Actually, but the cat that was misbehaving got all of this praise and notoriety. But then after they announced Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as our new president and vice president, Ilhan Omar put a post on her Twitter that says "Feeling Wakanda vibes," and it was a video from when she was in a blackout improv show 2 years ago, and we were all dancing, and I'm like very prominently placed in the dance.
Nice.
And that thing has like 10,000 likes, so I don't have to be jealous of my cat anymore.
Just walk into the living room, point at your cat. Yeah, fuck you.
Just drop a little catnip mic.
The cat does look very adorable.
It really does. Yes.
All right. Well, I guess we've already touched on this a little bit, but who's got something to plug?
Oh, God.
Do we want to go through the list again, Duck, or do we want to just hit the...
Yeah, I'll just go real quick. I have a bunch of performances for Give to the Max, so you can watch The Apartment with me and Eric Thompson. You can watch The Fearless Karaoke Show. You can watch Blackout Improv. You can watch my huge 101 class. You can see me in Breed or Not to Breed, which will happen that day and other days that week. You can see me in Vilification Tennis. You might be able to sign up for one of those diversity and inclusion workshops. December, you can see more stuff. I didn't bring up, should be in a show called Word, the hip hop musical in December. So that's a thing that you can see as well. Continue to support the Theater of Public Policy. I'm not 100% sure what our Give to the Max plan is, but you can keep an eye out for the Twin Cities Horror Festival during that week as well. That would be fantastic.
Cool. Nice.
Anybody else? Okay.
Nope.
Any final thoughts?
Bye, bye. I love you. Bye, bye, bye.
All right. Well,
be excellent to each other and party on, dudes.
That's a great final thought. Thank you so very much.
Party on, dudes.
Thank you so very much to our guest, Duck.
Thanks for having me.
Definitely brought the class up a little bit. Thank you, Stefan, for sending in a fast five.
Yay!
Thank you to everybody who has been listening to this podcast. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.